recording. Oh, I thought you were going to do it.
Welcome to D&D&D, a dinner party role-playing podcast. I'm your dungeon master and host, James Gressel, and with me today are the fun people. Say hi, fun people.
Hi, Jim.
Vote now on your phones for what animal you think will have a big year this year. Is it cows? Is it
cows.
Turtles?
Two
is it
turtles.
Possums?
Three. Yeah. Before I decided to be the DM today, and this is only going to happen for the next minute, and then I will give it right back to Gressel.
Oh my god, as much as I would love
that. I actually thought, like, wait, are you surprising us and you're the DM?
Oh god, that would be wild. We come back from a little break, and then it's just a total pivot. Mm-hmm. Beth's running the game. New characters.
Could you imagine? I want to run a game one day. I have no idea. It's like having a kid. Like, I want to do it, but it's...
You want to babysit?
No.
You want to babysit a campaign?
I don't want to babysit. I want to be the special one. You know? I want to be the one who wrote it and everybody has a good time with my show, but I don't want to do any of the work. Like having a kid.
I've only DM'd once. And
you want to be the cool aunt as a DM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even just doing like a very simple like one-off thing, you have to... It's like just managing Murphy's Law constantly. Like it's just... Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Like, your players will pick stuff you don't want them to, and
so
then
curious.
You have to prepare for that. And it's just so much.
What if I'm bad? It doesn't matter. But before we started recording, Chelsea and I were talking about how every year there are, like, popular animals. And, like, last year was frogs, and there's been a popular animal owl year and
ducks.
Fox year. You think ducks?
I mean, I like ducks.
Ducks is a pick. That's a good pick.
Like, I have that. I'm, like, obsessed with that little, like, Korean duck
character
that I have a stuffed animal of, and I'm always on the lookout for more things with that duck on it.
I do sell a lot of birds, and I do have duck people come to my booth and be like, where are the ducks?
Yeah.
I mean, Darkwing Duck just got a new comic book. Episode 1 just got released. I have not purchased it yet, but I'm excited about that.
I'll cross my fingers for squirrels. I like them.
Squirrels haven't had a moment.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did have Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the feature film. That
is a chipmunk, Michael.
Not squirrels. Where are their tails?
Where are their tails?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to D&D, the dinner role-playing party podcast.
I think it's going to be cows. I've seen rumblings of cows. People are dressing like them.
You've seen rumbles with cows?
I've seen rumbles with cows.
30 cows?
30 cows. Got to go over the top rope.
Really
tip
hard.
Them over the top rope.
Super hard to tell which one is still standing.
That's
with all
a top
the spots.
Round.
Oh my Boat. God!
Tip the top round over the tippy top rope.
You don't want to keep them on the mat. Ground beef gets you nothing in the bovine rumble.
Dude, we're warming up.
Is this guy as smart, if not smarter, than dogs?
Oh shit! That cow just did the mooplex.
Nice.
Thanks.
Super mooplex from the top rope.
All right, we are going to play. We are back.
A dinosaur story.
I was just
gonna say that.
I've been working on a fucking dinosaur story joke for like 3 days. I'm like, how am I gonna make
Wait,
that
dinosaur.
Into our version of the Chilean miners? But no.
Oh my god.
James comes in here and swoops in.
Sorry, what the fuck?
We're back.
A dinosaur story.
References to that thing so many times, and every time I do, everyone's like, whoa, I haven't thought of that in forever. It's
since
like
last time you made a joke.
Yeah, that movie doesn't exist. Troll in Central Park, dinosaurs were back, and there's one from my memory that no one knows about, where like,
there's like a
princess,
swan princess.
Oh, yeah,
swan
yeah.
princess rules. It's the one that where a princess is like following a golden thread through the downstairs, the dungeon, through a campaign that Gressel wrote.
We're underground.
We're underground.
That sounds like a creepy pot. Like that sounds like a... Or like an R no sleep. We were like, hey guys, I was going through all my childhood tapes and I was, I found the class. I was like, we're back in Thumbelina. But I found this one that like I remember and it's about this girl pulling a string and no one else has any memory of it. And when they watch it, they don't see anything, you know?
If you know it, you know it.
Oh my God. It's
called like the Princess and the Cobblestone or something silly.
Anyway, Troll in Central Park is bad. If you watch it as an adult.
We're back, I don't think, is very good either. I think
that's
I think it's short, if I remember.
Is that a Spielberg?
It's produced.
Good.
Produced by Spielberg. That's
There's
what I
a
thought.
Guy who turns into ravens.
There is a guy, yeah. Screw Eye.
That's
he's
so
the,
cool.
He's the evil brother, yeah.
He's in our campaign, too.
I'm realizing I've never actually seen that movie. Like,
I haven't seen
as
either.
You guys are describing it, I'm like, I don't think I've ever actually watched
they
it.
Well, see, it's about
cereal
space
and
dinosaurs.
They get smart.
It's about space dinosaurs.
No, they're real dinosaurs. They're human. They're Earth dinosaurs.
But they live in space and they eat cereal. And then when they're when they get dumb, they go back to being
okay. I've
like
definitely
real
never
dinosaurs.
Actually seen that.
Yeah.
And they get dumb because they get sucked, soul sucked. Oh, yeah. How do
like
they get
space
dumb?
Jam?
They give it up. They give it up. They give it up to save the boy with the hat.
They do.
They give up the cereal?
They like Flowers for Algernon.
It is kind of Flowers for Algernon.
Now I want to watch it.
It's
that sounds
so sad,
super fun.
Because the guy's just like,
and sad, yeah.
Rex! Rex! And he's crying big anime tears.
Amblin Entertainment's animated Flowers for Algernon musical. I would love to see it.
John Goodman does a voice.
Love John Goodman.
All right, but we are back.
This is great.
We are back. We are back to... the story.
I missed you guys.
Thank you listeners for bearing with us. It's been an interesting start to the year.
Yeah, that to say the least.
To say the least. But we are back. Everybody is healthy.
Oh, we're back like that movie.
Like that, yeah. we're ready to get back into it. So we're gonna keep going with this, though, the main story.
Yeah, there were four rooms.
There were four rooms?
And we didn't go in the room with the green mist.
No, you didn't. You went somewhere
else.
Oh, yeah.
You made some choices. The choices led you to a big machine being run by a mostly dead...
That's right.
...dwarf who you reconnected with his soul briefly.
My God, I'm fused with Marta.
You are fused with Marta. Yep.
So bad.
Marvis.
Marvis and
did we say that name?
I said Marvis.
Marvis.
That's in my notes.
Yep.
Oh my God. Well, it's funny.
Flack has turned the undead blacksmith Alaric Starsmith into a zombie servant. So Flack's got that with him. And you guys, yes, so you guys made some choices. You did not go into three of the rooms when you were presented with that choice. And then you did go to a room that had this big contraption being run by the zombie.
Who's Zalstar?
Isn't he dead? Didn't we kill? I mean,
oh,
like,
so he's my zombie, Zalstar?
He's your zombie friend, yes. What happened was is that you activated his little machine that sent you through an aurora. And while traveling through the aurora, his soul ascended into the afterlife.
So now we just have like a zombie that we had to fight.
So then you just had an empty zombie shell that
I
you
used
were
finger of death on him.
Yeah, and which raised him as a zombie
All-Star
servant. Yes,
you could name him anything now.
He's
his
All-Star.
Soul's okay.
So you found you were transported then to this little like backstage room, this little like dressing room, where you discovered that three academic dwarves were killed and their bodies were hidden. You deduced that they were due to present at the heavy metal exhibition here at the big science expo in Didredon. And it was decided, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was decided that this time Fletch would be the one doing it.
Yeah.
Yep. Initially, Marjorie thought, well, Zabbis has the experience, but Zabbis made the point of, well, but people have seen me do this before, yeah. And, you know, there's complications with Marta and everything. So it was put upon Fletch, and now that is, that's where we're going to rejoin the story. Do you guys have any other, anything else you want to go over before we get back into it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
I had written that I meditated to gain back a spell slot because I used Gust of Wind.
We're going to go ahead and refresh. You guys are all...
You're right. However,
yeah.
I made a connection with something and it was very dark and there was no happiness. And then I passed out and Marjorie heard a woman's voice / Tim's voice.
Yes.
So that was, yeah. And then when I woke up, I couldn't remember anything.
Yes.
Is that going to be, well, I think never mind. I just recapped myself.
Okay.
And I don't want to know anything, yeah. I guess.
Was the last time we did anything? This the 11th of December?
Yep.
I wrote something crazy.
What'd you write?
Maybe at Dragon Door, we give up to the inevitability of the cycle to open the door.
That's, yeah, that makes sense.
To you. I wrote it so big in my note. This was a fucking revelation, and I'm like, why did I do that?
Yeah, so inside the...
I looked at a picture.
Yes, inside the dressing room that you were transported into, you discovered behind an illusion like a conspiracy board.
That's right.
That
the
had
fucking
a bunch of
Homelander
plans.
Homeland board. I know that term. I've been teaching other people that in my life.
I don't think...
But have you been saying Homelander?
Yeah. It's very different.
Like you just said.
I can't promise you that I haven't.
Yeah, you went into this room, you saw the conspiracy board, and on the conspiracy board were plans for some sort of battering ram or large method to destroy this door or break open this door. The doorway had a bunch of dragon markings on it.
Where was that doorway?
You don't know where the doorway is.
Oh, okay, we don't know.
But there was an image of it.
Okay, so we don't... Okay.
Yes, and on the image was a bunch of dragon markings that are... not necessarily writing, but they invoked something in Mardrin.
Yeah, and I had a role, and I didn't get a lot of information, but I got kind of caught up in it.
You got caught up in it. You had feelings of, yes, a kind of
soul,
feeling
my
of...
My soul began to peacefully separate from my body.
Yes.
Ah!
Yes. And then Fletch touched your shoulder and snapped you out of it.
Thank you.
Did we see that happening, or was
no,
that something
No, it was just
she
a
was
feeling.
Yeah, that was a private Mardrin.
That was a private Mardrin moment.
No one knows.
Zabbis is fused with Marta.
Yeah.
In one of the rooms that you did not go down, there was a kind of pulling of sorts that pulled Marta forth from the bone
staff.
Yeah, and
I was like, I don't want
to... Yes, and in an effort to save Marta from whatever that was, it resulted in Marta's ghost possessing Zabbis. There was a kind of like a spring back.
And my theory is that whatever that was down that hallway or like in that room is connected to whatever was keeping that guy's like soul alive and like operating that machine.
For sure.
That is the
theory.
Like
they're like
there.
Enslaving goats. Like
the
people
dead.
Die and they have harnessed something that keeps people in limbo or something.
Which is like, you could have just made a zombie a la Flock. Flock? What? A la Flack. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's kind of humane for them to just kind of hold on to the soul in a dark alley.
That's more humane than just
a mindless...
I feel
like it's worse, because then you have no peace.
Puppet?
Okay.
You know? Like, I feel like if you're a zombie...
I haven't spent time thinking about
thinking
this one.
About this
yeah.
Just shooting from the hip.
Like, if you're a zombie, this is getting into, like,
body.
Weird. Like, what is the soul? But like in
yeah,
this
dude.
Universe, like is your soul, you know, like if you're a zombie, your soul is like doing other like, I mean, we saw that happen, like our buddy's soul ascended to wherever and then we fought the zombie him. So it wasn't him. It just was his animated corpse.
Right.
Like keeping a soul in soul jail is fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it different?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't get to go to like whatever.
Because his soul didn't know when it. Guys, his soul didn't know. His soul went back in. Well, this soul does not matter. His soul went back into his
Severance?
Body.
I literally was thinking, no, it's like Severance. Like, we don't know.
I've not seen the show Severance, but I've listened to this podcast because I've recorded it. But his soul went back into his body and he was like, what time is it? And we were like, years and years later. And he was like, what? Oh my God, in a blink of an eye, I used to be a handsome man. So he didn't know. He wasn't sitting there being like bored.
While he was doing all, and he just doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Is that what Severance is about?
Yeah.
All
right.
Severance is great.
Severance is fucked up.
And not unrelated. like all of these discussions are all kind of part of it. Yes.
There were things stolen from the room, but also things left in the room, i.e. masks, clothes, and badges.
It was like whatever they were originally wearing, right?
Yeah. You found like discarded cult robes. You found a like, you know, wardrobe rack of
fancy
nice
clothes
options. Yeah. And some of which were missing.
And someone came and gave us badges.
A stage manager of sorts came and left in credentials. Yep. And then you also found on the personage of the bodies the like general generic like their general identification.
So was
and they were alloy researchers.
Did we explicitly find discover that anything was taken from the room to mask, or quite literally mask, the perpetrators of this crime?
There were things missing. But
were they identifiable things? Like 3 out of 6 of the masks were gone?
Yeah, outfits were missing, masks were gone, yes.
But they're
probably not distinctive enough to be able to pick out of a crowd.
You wouldn't, there was nothing, they're gone. You have no way of knowing immediately who these people
are. Like,
yes, Chelsea was right. There will be a group of
like presenters who are,
and you don't know who's the fake one.
Okay.
So you said they left stuff behind.
Mm-hmm.
You said they left like basic identification behind?
No, you
like,
found
tags.
The basic identification of the dudes
guys.
That they killed.
Got
yes.
driver's license of the dudes that they
killed.
Yeah,
were,
yeah,
they,
yeah. No, I just was
their,
like...
Their
okay.
names are not important, is what I said last
sure,
time,
yeah.
but they were alloy researchers. They were metallurgists.
That's what I wanted. I didn't know if the other guys were also like specialists, and that's going to make it harder for us to figure out who doesn't
belong.
Yeah,
so presumably these guys are going to pose as alloy researchers.
So basically, we have to just do that toxic fan thing where we're going to a convention and we're going to quiz everyone on if they're a real fan. And whoever isn't an actual fan is going to be the person that murdered those guys.
And I'm still pants.
Currently, yes. Let's give you guys a moment here in the dressing room to kind of formulate your plan.
I was gonna
cut to backstage, but I guess yes, Marjorie is still pants. So.
No, I'm okay with cutting to backstage. I just wanted to make sure that we're that my head is wrapped around what's
Bucket Baby.
You don't need to be anymore.
You can be whatever you want now.
Let's just take a minute and be like, all right, what's everybody dressing
at?
You have a dressing room. So there are clothing
we're
options.
The Mega Sims.
Yeah.
You have disguise kits. You have spells that can alter your appearance. You have everything at your disposal in this dressing room for a makeover montage.
Yeah. Do we? Is there anything in here where we can kind of crash course on like metals or rocks and stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like if we went and like quizzed people. Do you know what I really want to try and sniff people out that
sure.
way.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're in this room. There's that. You don't have to roll for that. You can take your time looking around. And there are some materials that talk about how, like, all right, the way that this presentation is going to go, like the way this one is a little bit different from the animal one, which was like, all right, next up is this person with their thing.
Yeah, look at this fucking weird thing they found outside.
This one is, yeah, exactly. You find like, you know, they wouldn't have this for a science thing probably, but it's the term that's coming to my brain, like the playbill for this event that like gives you a rundown of what it is. And it's like, it gives you like a little brief summary of the history of it. And this was one of the first events when the like expo started, because this reaches back to like
because it's fucking rock.
Heavy yeah,
rock.
Early origins of like
thing.
Yeah, dwarven
we love
science.
Heavy rock.
Exactly.
That was the first kind of expo caveman hat. It's like look at rock.
This
Grom
one's
found.
Bigger. This one's a cool color.
Yeah.
This one changes when wet.
But yeah, this
is like a Far Side comic.
This reaches back to like early dwarf science, where like this is you're at like the heart of the mountain where there was like a molten core, kind of like pools of lava, basically, of like magic rocks for all intents and purposes. And how this one works is that the scientists present their attempts at coaxing from the mountain the materials needed to create a new metal, a new product, a new alloy or whatever that will create something that can be used to forge something new.
So us showing up animal style and being like, look at our heavy rock, would be super weird.
Marjorie.
Oh, so it's not
Marjorie's
like
earlier plan
rocks.
Of we have the heaviest metal with the tier, tier, won't work for this one.
Gotcha.
It's a different thing.
This is like a more of like a demonstration of tech.
Yes.
And not like
not
I found
a presentation
this rock
of
in
a
my
discovery.
Backyard.
Right. Yeah. So
uh-oh.
It is.
Oh, damn. So, oh, okay. In that case,
we have a mech suit.
I have an idea. We don't anymore.
Yeah.
No, I think you still have the belt from Cedric.
Really?
Although it doesn't.
I thought he used it trying
great.
To like send somebody. Oh, pieces kept falling.
Yeah, pieces kept falling.
You know
out.
What we do have is those like gems that have different effects. Those have to be pretty unique. I bet we could spin that to like.
Oh yeah.
Be well, kind of a new type.
I have a wait, but what if? What if we pose ourselves as producers instead of contestants? And then we could ask everybody what their, like, the special information so we could put it on the PowerPoint because we need to gather the information. And
oh,
that
like
would
WordPress?
Be the way. Yeah. That would be the way that we can suss out who knows what they're talking about and who doesn't.
Then you could be.
Who's that?
Right. I can't. I want to contribute. Oh, no. Marta. Then you could be other.
That could work. Yeah. Like we go around interviewing people.
Yeah, I don't want to call us auditors. So producers? We're the casting director.
Yeah, like when I've done costume competitions at conventions before, there's like a pre-judging where they have someone come around and they're like, what did you bring? Like, what is, you know, they like look at it and they like kind of write down so that it kind of speeds everything up.
Yeah,
should we pretend to be that person?
Yes, I also love that, like, I know you're talking as Chelsea in Chelsea's experience, but now in my head, Zabbis does conventions and dresses up.
Yeah.
Which fucking tracks.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
As he's standing there with his fucking dragon wings and horns and his glowing blue.
Yeah.
Just looking like a Blizzard character or something.
Overwatch character.
Yeah.
The rest of us are just like dudes.
All right, so I will be the lead here, and I will be the one asking as a reporter, as a producer.
Yeah, I have to stay hidden, so I could keep being pants.
Okay.
Maybe I'll be your magic table. You put the clipboard on my head.
Okay. Magic table.
You're it's like a walking table.
Yeah.
But it has pants, so it's not indecent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like a walking stupid. Table.
It's an up to code walking table.
What's the surface of the table?
We needed something flat.
You're just going to break off the table that's there?
There's got to be some kind of clipboardy thing around here.
Flat surface
here.
That you can walk around with.
Yeah, like. Margarine is like pulling little gems and stuff off the fancy clothes and sort of putting them on four corners of her to make it feel like she's a.
What are your four corners?
Front of the shoulders, back of the shoulders, narrow table. Yep. Sorry about it. Yeah, I still have Mage Hand, so that's just gonna be sort of like. Waiter style, holding a platter or some kind of table-like top. Mm-hmm. This is so dumb.
Keep your mage hand strong.
Are you going to fashion some sort of like table skirt, or are you going to stay cargo pants?
Ooh, I'm always going to stay cargo pants, but that's a good idea. I was just thinking, like, do I have my arms out and I'm holding two corners of a square tabletop? And then I fashion fake arms coming out of my front and my back that hold the other two corners. But DM's idea of just draping a cloth over the top is way better. So, Margarine, Scout, there's got to be
what patches do we have on the jacket?
Oh, yeah.
From long ago? Do we still have a door or some shit?
You do? There's still a door.
That'd be gigantic.
Did they come? Was water served? In the dressing room on a little plate? On a big plate?
Like a platter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Say yes.
do it. Say yes so we can leave this fucking dressing room.
Great. I flip that, turn it over. I grab some piece of clothing from the wardrobe that is a simple tablecloth. And that's me, baby. I'm table now.
Okay. Margarine has gone from pants to table.
And I am just the magically enchanted thing that will stick to Fletch's side.
Yeah, awesome.
Could I use the floaty thing without Margarine working on the tablet?
Yes, you can kind of.
I can give him a couple. You don't know the language, so I would have to teach you the important ones.
Hmm. What would you like to know? I'll make a quick list.
Roll a intelligence roll. So 20 plus your intelligence modifier.
Get out of here. Windows 11, fuck off.
And we'll say that the if you are able to roll a number higher than 10,
any, I got a natural one.
Oh, you can't grasp the language. Okay. It's
there you
too.
Go.
Yep. Okay.
A natural one.
It's like because the alphabet is like it's like trying to write in like Russian, where mm-hmm. like it's you just can't
Fair.
Figure it out.
Okay.
So a natural one, you don't get the, but you can keep wearing the belt for now. You don't have to toss it.
I am going to give you the tablet and pen.
Yeah, you could always try it later.
Okay.
And are you going to present as a gnome now under this ruse of you guys being visiting
Yes.
investigators?
I am Fletch's assistant.
Okay.
Silent.
Ooh, a silent Ooh. Assistant. Okay. Yeah.
I can't speak.
Got
I don't
it.
Know why.
Interesting
Fletch,
character
Fletch just wanted
choice.
To give himself an acting challenge.
Great. Right, Great. I'll play with that.
But do we have rings?
Yes.
Who has the rings?
Well, you can redistribute the rings, let's say. You have Great. Three of them.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so I'll take one. I'll you take have one. One.
I need one.
Okay, I guess I won't have one. Right,
yeah. Okay.
You got Marta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do have Marta. Marta is in Zabbis. Zabbis, you have access to Marta's like military knowledge as
oh,
well.
Oh, shit.
So
okay.
you could oh, use, shit. If you want to like approach anything from like a strategic military or tactical perspective,
okay.
then you can be like, all right, I want to use Marta's knowledge for this one and we'll adjust as needed. Yeah, so that's your plan. And then you're dressing, In the fancy clothes, at least the three of you who are not furniture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in your finery then, either something from the room or anything that you had with you initially. There you go. You exit the dressing room. And while the dressing room was a very basic, you know, simple room, when you exit into this hallway, you find yourself in a like flurry of activity. Like you're in this big wide tunnel. It's about 20 feet tall with an arched stone ceiling. The walls are natural rock and there are doorways cut into them. And you know, so you exited out of a door, but the walls to either side of you are just you know, mountain. It's super hot. Super hot. The room that you were in was a little bit protected from this, and you didn't feel, you know, out of the ordinary. But once you come outside into this hallway, hoo boy, you almost start sweating immediately. It is hot.
Do Ugh. Other people seemed bothered by this?
You can tell that everybody's warm. Like, this isn't a... you feeling this way doesn't put you at odds with all of the other crowd, and okay. there is a crowd. You can tell that this is a popular event here this weekend. There are crowds moving through this hall. Everybody seems to be shuffling to your left, right, to your right. Mostly dwarves, almost exclusively dwarves, but you do see that you are not out of place necessarily as other peoples.
Even tall people?
There's a few. There's, but most tend to be humans. Again, okay. Most look to be Hoskin. But there's the occasional maybe half-elf. Not too many other elves. There's a couple. There's a couple, but they're high elves like Zabbis. So you don't see Fletch. You don't see any other wood elves.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one who matches the wild physicality that Zabbis has right now.
Yeah, we didn't really spend any time disguising that, did we?
No.
I don't know how we could.
All right.
But part of the magic is that it is awe-inspiring.
Ah.
So it's kind of this protective just veil of this is what Zabbis looks like for now.
And everybody's like, cool.
Everybody,
yeah, like it just
everybody's
looks
just
so
kind of like,
cool.
Who is that?
The best cosplayer at the convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like a Transformers-ass giant thing.
People want to take pictures.
People are moving out of the way to like make sure that they don't damage the wings.
Uh-huh. It's going
to
be the thumbnail on the best costumes of the expo.
For sure.
Listicle.
I think we keep getting stopped so that they can take pictures.
I think it's a good idea because I think it's a disarming thing where
yeah.
you're like, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like this. Hi, sir. You know, hi, ma'am. What did you bring? It's like, oh my gosh. Oh, hi. I, you know, It's like
I brought this t-shirt to be signed.
Hey everybody, Grussel here with a few quick announcements, then we're going to get right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 161 of D&D&D. Be sure to follow us on social media at D&D&DPod on Twitter and D&D&DPod on Instagram, or email us at dndndpod@gmail.com. If you're a regular listener, you may have noticed our unexpected hiatus in January. Long story short, James is dealing with a personal matter, and it's going to cause a shift in our schedule, so we will have a main story episode this week. We're going to go week to week through February, and then we will get back into Tim's stories, and Beth and Mike and I will have some fun here through the February and potentially into early March until we can get back to recording regularly. We are doing a little bit of an adjustment, but we're gonna get back to getting stuff out. We're not gonna have a big gap anymore. But through February 23, we're gonna go week to week. We're gonna go back to week to week. Apologies for the inconvenience. You know, we're rolling with the punches and we are adjusting to life to make sure that we can get out some story when we can. So regular episode this week, and then regular episode not next Wednesday, but the following Wednesday if you are listening to this the day that it comes out. Thanks so much for your understanding as we adjust here, and we appreciate you listening to the show in general. Beth's shop, bradshop.cool, for Beth's artwork. Thanks so much to everybody who has stopped by Beth's booth at any of her convention appearances and said nice things about the show. Beth filters them back my way, and it's so nice to hear that there are people out there who are responding to the show so much that they have to go up and say hi to Beth about it, and then you get to see her cool artwork, so everybody wins. So if Beth is at a convention near you, be sure to say hi, check out the booth, and pick up some art. And yeah, we'll have announcements about those appearances as they come here on the show. That's it for me for now. Thanks again for your patience as we adjust, and we will get back to the action. Thanks, everybody. Do what's fun. You see that there are some teams of dwarfs that are dragging like sleds with equipment on them. Most of the equipment is covered in like tarps or sheets to hide what it is. People are keeping the actual technology of their presentation kind of close to their vest right now, and everybody is dragging it toward. You go down this hallway following the crowds, and then things kind of split, and it looks like the attendees and the crowd go one way, and then the people, the dwarves and stuff with the sleds, go another. Yes.
I want to retroactively say that we have those badges, right, that were given to us.
Yep.
I wanted to have disguise kitted, turn them into staff badges.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yeah, I think let's roll.
If we want to start like asking people for information for the presentation.
You got like all access backstage passes, but they were definitely more like presenter. You want to adjust them to be like so that it doesn't say that you're giving a presentation.
Right.
Okay. So
I want it to be the color of the staff badges.
Let's roll deception for that one.
Just Beth.
Yeah.
Gonna be a 9 plus 13, 22.
Yeah, okay. You are able to alter them. The group of you definitely are able to alter them so that they convincingly at a glance say that that you are not.
We work here.
Yeah, you work here, or you were otherwise given access, not as scientists.
Cool. Yes. Thank you.
So it gets to this split. Crowd goes one way and scientists go the other. Which way do you go?
I mean, should we?
Scientists, right?
Yeah.
We gotta start
snooping.
Yeah, start snooping.
Okay.
I bump into the back of Fletch's leg.
Oh. Wow. Okay. We gotta.
Do you have anything on the tabletop?
Not yet.
Okay. It's like R2-D2 in Return of the Jedi is what I'm
thinking. Yeah. Jabba's.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What are you doing? Serving drinks. Yes, you go and you follow the scientists. And after this split, you can see that each side of this is on a like round. You're on the top of like a round like theater. And you look down once you pass over the split, and it opens up to where there's like a railing and an opening into like a big like arena. And at the center of this arena on the bottom floor is an enormous pool of lava, like a huge open bubbling pit of melted rock. And built over this pool is a big like scaffolding platform.
This seems threatening.
There's a like lift, like a small like elevator kind of cart next on one side, next to like a presentation platform, and there's like a judge's table near the front of this pool of lava. There's an arena built around it with seats that you can see the spectators are filtering into, and you are on the concourse. Walking toward another like big like freight elevator kind of place where you see some of the scientists with these sleds bring their sleds into, and then it descends. So now you're standing waiting for the elevator to come back up with a group of, let's say, two different teams of dwarves. What do you do?
All right, we gotta talk to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Can we gotta like corner one or like try not to be too intimidating since we're all together, but I turn and look for the most I look for the least standout-ish of the dwarves, the scientists.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's one of the teams.
That's smart, because they'll be trying to look
like impressive. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, one of the teams has this like big sled of equipment. They have like each member of this team, this three-person team, has like their own individual sled of shit that they're pulling, and it's a bunch of stuff covered in tarps and whatever. But the other one, they're each carrying like a spool, like a big, it looks like a big thread spool.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But they're small enough where each of them are like carrying them, but they're big, but they're in like two hands. They're carrying these like big spools of something, and they're wrapped, so you can't tell what's spooled, but it's clearly a spool.
Okay, are you, team, you ready? Ready for this?
Uh-huh.
I approach with much confidence. Hi, Floop Tailstrom here. I am here with the Ditterdon Daily Digest, and I have a couple questions for you. We're doing some interviews and want to, you know, see what you've got, see what you're bringing to the table today.
Nodding.
Jump.
And here's my here's my table pant, my pants table, and I have my.
What are you bringing to the table today?
Dude, one of them just like sets the spool on the table. Martrin, make a strength saving throw.
Okay.
Holy shit, that's funny. We're good, guys. It's an 18.
Okay, it's an 18. You are, even with an 18. You feel a heft.
Oh no.
When this guy sets the spool on top of the table, and you have to make a wisdom save.
All right. 15 plus 1, 16.
Okay. You have to stifle a grunt. It is heavy. Oh, no. This thing that was placed on top of the table. But you're able to.
Ah, initiative. I like to see that.
This is an interesting interview technique. Floop, flip, floop, floop,
floop,
floop.
Tailstrom, thank you.
Floop, Tailstrom. I appreciate, you know, bringing something different in your approach to journalism. That's what the expo is all about, is different approaches.
I like
it. My name is Sailgad. Sailgad Jade Feet. And this is my team.
Sailgad J Feet?
Just call him Larry.
No, I did too many of Larry's and Bill's and shit.
He can be a Larry J. Feet.
Salgad Jade Feet.
Salgad
Old
Jade
Green
Feet.
Toes over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he... What?
You sure you want to be a silent assistant?
Yeah, I'm not anymore.
I was like, wait, this is a podcast.
Nice try.
And this is my team, and we're really excited about our presentation today.
Yeah, what is it about?
We've been attempting every year at this expo, the leading scientists in the study of metals have been trying to coax the best metal out of the heart of the mountain. And so far, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, nobody's been able to do it. But this time, I think we've been able to crack it. My team and I here have been developing these very specific type of wires. You see.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm just thinking to myself, these guys are innocent. That guy was too excited talking about wires. Like, this guy's here for real. He loves wires. I'm so excited. Someone's asking about them.
Can I roll to see how invested in his own wires he is?
Oh, yeah. Insight.
Insight?
Yeah.
Okay. I am 11 plus 1. 12?
He seems pretty into it.
All right.
He goes on for like a few minutes, like the elevator comes up, and like the other team with their like big ostentatious sleds full of shit that was like really trying to pull everybody's attention. They load up into the elevator and like you guys kind of start to move, but then Salgad is like, no, you go ahead, we'll get the next one, and he keeps talking about the wires.
No.
Okay. And he tells you about how they have these, they're made of different things and they're wound a certain way, and he goes on, you know, for like the elevator goes down and it comes back up. And
this is literally like an elevator pitch. Yeah. I haven't gotten in it. Love it.
And then there like a big horn sounds.
Oh.
And then he's like, oh, I get lost in the work, but we got to get on this one because we're up first here, actually.
Oh, great. Real quick, do you have a sample of this wiring that we could, just like a little bit? Love to examine it.
And he brings out, he's like, well, actually, now that you mention it, and he brings out like a small little like scale model, like a little like diorama that like a kid would make kind of thing. Flack, something about this is really familiar to you because it's six strings stretched over a hole.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it looks like a poorly made stringed instrument. His little model. It looks like someone tried to like draw a guitar from memory without ever really having seen one, or draw a guitar from a description without ever having seen one.
Mm-hmm.
Could I
see that?
Oh yeah, sure.
Any hands green toes? All right, I strum it.
Oh. The entire rumoring collapses. The end.
You ever do a little bit of this?
Elevator falls down into the lava.
It's vibrating metal strings. It produces notes. It's not a, it's not necessarily musical because it wasn't built for that. Mm-hmm. But his eyes kind of light up when you do this, and he says, "Wow, you guys must have really done your research about, you know, like vibration is part of our theory. Is that is through a certain kind of vibration we will be able to do this." So very insightful. Assistant Floop Junior Floop.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I never introduced my assistant.
Flip.
Yeah. Flip and Floop.
Yes, Flip and Floop. We're brothers. It's Flip and Floop. Tell us.
Adopted.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, obviously, but yeah, we do our research. You know, when we come to these conventions, we want to know everything we can about the contestants, but it is really great to have a one-on-one conversation with the contestants that have made such wonderful creations.
Well, Flip and Floop, I'm looking forward to reading your what have you brought to the table column?
Yep. Yep. Just take a look for the Digirodon Daily Digest, and we'll have it there. It's a little warm and flipping on my words. Flipping them up.
The elevator lands, and Salgad grabs his spool from off the table. Margarine, you finally can kind of relax. You've been straining.
Oh, yeah, don't forget that. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, well, thanks for featuring us, and, we gotta go get set up.
Good luck.
So they go, and they head over to the platform that is stretched above the pool of lava, and you guys kind of follow some of the other scientists to a kind of staging area that is nearby.
I wonder if they're gonna take those spools and wire them over this giant hole, and then... run across them to like pluck them.
Run across?
I mean, that would be the equivalent to plucking, I guess, with such a scale.
Oh, I guess.
If you were to grab them and hang off of them and then let go and fall into the lava, it'd be a pluck.
That'd be like a single pluck. I'm looking for a whole strum, though.
Well, they would be.
Well, you said pluck. I'm helping.
No,
they would
you're
die,
right.
though. They would I'm... die if they did that.
Sometimes you die for your art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anyone that we can see who looks maybe slightly disheveled, like they got ready in a hurry or something?
Roll investigation.
Roll bad hair.
Roll for bad hair.
19.
You're looking around, and it looks like everybody is pretty well put together. You can't see...
Roughly how many groups are there? Because we outlined two.
Right. There were two that you came down with. Two more took the elevator that didn't... that you missed while you were talking.
We weren't talking.
And then there are, let's say there's another four, so there are eight total, one of which you have met. They're all being very, no one looks particularly disheveled or physically different from the others. All of them are dwarves.
Mm-hmm. No one looks like they've been in a hustle.
No one looks like they've been in a tussle. No one has like any kind of like blood or anything on them.
What about like they were wearing glasses, but they took off their glasses, and so they still have the lines on their face from the glasses?
Yeah, like the little mark on their nose.
A few have that.
Like they were wearing masks for a long time, maybe, and then they took off.
Some of them do have like masks on. Like their belts or around their neck. Some of them have these ornate masks, not the like low quality cult masks, but some of them have the like high quality academic masks.
You like secret rings. I feel like we should look at those guys, like narrow the search for the ones with the mask.
That
also, I think you should open. You should ask less open ended questions.
What? Why?
Yeah. We were talking. That was so heavy, and he's talking to us for like what?
Well, not everyone's
felt like
gonna put something
minutes.
Heavy on your head.
Yeah, I didn't
we gotta let them trap themselves.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to put a spool on you. That was unexpected. I'll take care of it next time.
It's a good get though. What do you bring to the table? I thought that was charming until my neck started hurting.
It's the whole hook for the piece.
Yeah. So you might have to endure it, but I'll make sure to do what I can. Okay, let's go. Oh, Zabbis.
Yeah.
Because of secret rings and stuff. Because when I was not in the secret rings, I had no idea what we were doing.
So I'm gonna,
secret rings. Boo-hoo. ABG. The whole time you're talking to Zabbis about how it was hard for you.
We're going to go find the people with the masks and interview them next.
Or people who though they had been wearing masks.
Yes, exactly. So, and I'm going to have... you help on this one because didn't introduce you to the last group.
Yeah, I just kind of stood there.
Just this looming figure glowing behind you.
Yeah, which I think worked. I need to get you in there.
Throw them off.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's approach the next group.
You approach the next group. This is a group, again, of three dwarves. This is two men and a woman. They have this elaborate machine of some kind that is on a cart with wheels Most of it is still covered in sheeting. They're trying to kind of hide what it is. But they are, the woman is pouring some sort of, smoking liquid into a, into the machine, but trying to conceal what both are. So the container has like a wrap around it, and the machine is like partially
covered.
Excuse
me, is that regulation?
Is the inspection coming now? We were told that we would have moments in this.
We're not cops.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hi. Flip.
I'm Flip.
Tailstrom, and I'm Floop. Tailstrom, we're here with the Digradon Daily Digest, and we're here to do some interviewing, and we would, my colleague here would like to ask some questions. Also, we have
a table.
I'm interning.
We have intern.
You're so scary.
our intern might seem a bit
awe-inspiring.
thank you. Yeah, intern, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm... Oh my god, I'm trying to think of like, Z. All I can think of is zebra. Because you guys are still using F. And I can't think of any... I'm just like, my head is just like zebra, zebra, zebra. I'm zebra.
Hell yeah.
I'm zebra.
Yeah, this is zebra. Our intern. And we just wanted to know what you three are bringing to the table. And I gesture to our table. Pants, our pants table.
Why are you trying to break her neck?
The woman like climbs off of her little ladder with her container, and she puts the container on the table.
Hey, okay.
Margin roll a strength saving throw.
Okay. Uh-oh. It's gonna be a 4.
Oh, shit.
The weight of the container buckles your knees, and you are unable to hold it steady.
I grab it.
Yeah. Oh.
Roll a strength saving throw.
What did they put on me?
It was the container that she was pouring this foam,
it's
this
like a thing of
this
fucking
smoking
oil.
Liquid out of. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A strength saving throw?
Strength saving Fuck. Throw.
A 0, baby. 4.
You try to grab it, and you can't.
it was a turn of phrase. My table's not that strong.
Neither am I.
And neither
oh no, the acid!
Okay. And then I run over to try to help. Jesus Christ. Saving strength throw, you said?
Yes.
13.
Not going to do it. It's incredibly heavy.
Zebra.
yeah.
I'm going to need your, we're going to need your assistance here.
Okay.
Just bopping it into the air.
I go catch it.
Roll a strength saving throw.
19.
19 will do it.
There it is.
Wow. Zebra, we'll start paying you a little bit more, I think.
Some of the contents of the container slosh and hit the floor, causing it to bubble and foam.
Am I fine? Did the table not get splooshed?
Some of the table did get splooshed, so the cloth that you had used to cover the table, your tabletop, is now burned a little bit. It's not, you didn't fail so spectacularly thanks to the comedy of errors of trying to grab this.
I'm also scared to use magic here because everyone is weird about magic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They'll be like less willing to talk to us, I bet.
Mm.
So you did physically grab it before it was able to spill entirely. But you did notice that this is a corrosive substance. This is an acid of some kind.
So looks like you got some acid there. What's, I'm going to say this again, but please don't put anything on my table. What are you bringing to the table?
Metaphorically.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
She also goes into an explanation of what the whole goal of the experiment is.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, well, our approach is, to try to synthesize the contents of the pool, with various types of acids and other materials to introduce new substances. We feel that focusing too much on only melted rock will result in the same result that people have been getting for centuries, and we're not going to get the heaviest, the true heaviest metal from these approaches. We need to bring something new to the table. Mm. I think you should use that in your story.
Hey, that's why we're saying it. Good catch. Yeah.
Leave the writing to us.
Guys are doing different things.
I feel like good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. Bad for
it. Done with your shit. Flip.
Flip's done with your shit.
That's why we're introducing a substance like this, which may seem dangerous at first, but
yeah,
without taking risk, you know, we won't be able to
have any reward.
There you go.
See, leave the written dust, you know.
It's going to reward.
Yeah.
Are these guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that code?
It might be. Well, what is your team name?
Our team.
Yeah, everybody's name? Got team names.
Like as bowling.
I suppose.
Bar trivia.
Yeah.
We're team Hornhead. That's my name. Maybe that can be our team name. And the other two guys are kind of like. Well, how come you get to have the team name?
Listen, no. I didn't mean to cause any interruptions and you know, a personal conflict here. I was just, you know, most of these teams.
You hear Marjorie say, fight.
Okay. Like aloud.
And the other guys are like, yeah, why can't we be team Cole Armor? Why can't we be team Drake Sword? Huh?
Those are
Do we have to be Team Hornhead?
Oh God!
How am I close to? How close am I to Acid Guy?
Yeah. I mean, like she's like standing in front of the table.
Okay. Is she distracted with this argument?
Yeah. Now they're like getting to the point where they're almost going to start like pushing each other.
I pick her pockets.
Oh God.
Okay. Roll your sleight of hand, Chels.
Can I ask them? Are there any other competitors that have? In past years turned in really impressive stuff, or is anyone, you know, is there anyone they're worried about this year? Because this way, and I'm thinking to myself, because I don't have a fucking secret ring, I'm hoping process of elimination, if they tell us people they've competed against before, we'll know that those people aren't imposters.
That's smart.
Yes, they say that they are always worried about Professor Twilight Grip.
I'm sorry, what? Twilight Grip?
Twilight Grip. Yep.
Can't make that up.
Professor Twilight Grip is all. He's been close before.
Ooh, speaking of Twilight Grip, I rolled a 24.
Okay, yes. You are able to. You're able to pick her pockets.
Call me Twilight Grip.
Her pockets contain some tools. They seem pretty mundane.
My heart.
To you.
Gets excited. But it's not carving?
It's not carving tools. Oh, they're okay. All, you know, it's spanners and wrenches and shit like that.
Okay.
There's odds and end parts, screws and stuff. You don't find anything that seems particularly of value, and everything kind of tracks for this kind of person.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're worried about Professor Twilight Grip. They say that he's been close before, but nobody's been able to successfully conduct this experiment.
Oh, cool. You know, what if you combined all of your last names and that would be your team name?
I think the that important would be, question.
I just want to, you know, I don't want there to be any, we didn't mean to cause any issues in you know, your team dynamic structure. So.
Drake Sorn Armor.
Yeah, that is
that
awesome.
That kind of works.
Okay, that's
your team
pretty
Drake,
good.
Drake Sworn
pretty
Armor.
Cool.
Oh, Drake Sworn Armor is even better.
Yeah, great. Yeah, we're great writers. Drake Sworn Armor. Okay, so last question, because going off of Zebra's question, I think, is there any competition that you might, that you haven't seen before? Like, is there anybody that you might be like, oh, they're
who's
new?
That
yeah, who's
stranger?
That stranger? You know, because mm-hmm. we're trying to talk to as many people as we can and get. We want to know who the newcomers are so that we you know, we've talked to Salgad Jadefeet and his team. We really like the what
the Coil
doing.
Guys.
Yeah, that Coil
guy. They're real nice guys.
Oh, the Coil guys are new. You know,
Coil guys are new. Okay,
yeah, we haven't seen them before, but and like meow. Meow. They just have the meow.
I'm sorry, you just say meow.
look, we're all into our own things.
Are you a cat boy?
He's a cat boy. He's got little ears.
Oh, no. Oh, fuck. Okay.
I don't know how we didn't notice that, but that's going in the story. Cat boy team Drake Sworn Armor.
Wait, the Coil guys are new?
Coil guys are new. They haven't been around before. They're everybody else always comes, you know, comes with these elaborate machines. Part of the point of the expo is showing off your ingenuity and your engineering prowess.
Right, right.
And they've got wires. So
new blood's always great.
Is there anyone else that's new that you don't recognize? Or is there anyone that maybe you're like, oh, we were expecting to compete against this group, but they're not here this year?
You know, now that you mention it, the Barrel Buckle team, led by Professor Barrel Buckle,
yeah, that's not goofy at all.
Not ridiculous.
They, love you, Chris.
Normal.
They, you know, they're usually some of the first people here, and I haven't seen their group yet. But maybe they just, you know, the entry fees are steep, and if you don't have the, you know, a good, it's hard to fund research these days, and if you're unable to find the investors for this important work, which
I mean, you're talking to journalists, we understand.
well, we appreciate you getting the word out for this very important work to try to find a very, very heavy rock that we don't yet know what to do with. But when we find it, wouldn't it be cool? Heavy rock, right? Like, that's, science is cool, yeah? You can use that in your story, too.
We'll take what we take.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Radloff, and Mike Seigen.